buried therefore with him by baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. I invite congregation to arise, and we will sing the processional hymn. We face the processional cross as it makes its way toward the front of the church.
Thank you. Make our beginning in the name in which we've been baptized, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May be seated as we speak together Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Ruth and to all your servants, who having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is found in Isaiah chapter 25. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. The epistle lesson comes from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians in chapter 15. But in the fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says, all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him, who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Reverence for our Lord, I invite you to please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is found in John chapter 11, beginning at the 17th verse. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Ends the gospel reading. God has made us his people through our baptism into Christ. And so living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. May be seated as we join in singing the next hymn.
Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus. Amen. I selected a text for the funeral sermon I'd like to read at this time from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. And now it is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us and set his seal of ownership on us, put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's a scripture passage. Dear friends, Roy and Elaine and Warren and Judy, Vaughn and Connie, Brother Merlin, Kathleen, sister-in-law Bonnie, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. I could go on with nieces and nephews and friends and neighbors and the like, okay? Yeah. I'd like to begin this sermon by making a confession of the most irritating thing that my wife, Darlene, finds about me. I know this is dangerous, maybe not even advisable, but I think it fits for the funeral sermon. Well, what is it that my wife is most irritated about me? Well, it's this. I don't give a straight answer, almost hardly ever. I don't know why I do that. I know it's frustrating to people, my wife especially, and to others many times also. If you know somebody who hardly ever gives a straight answer, well, you know how frustrating it is. We say, just answer. Just tell me. I need to know. Please. What if God had the trait of not giving a straight answer? I'd like for us to think about that. What if? God doesn't say one thing and then either do or say another thing. Nor does God only say half-truths and leave us guessing. Nor does God not quite give us enough information, leaving us in the dark. And worse yet, God does not tell us untruths. Look at the words of the scripture passage. It's a beautiful passage, and it's hardly ever preached on. I know I've never done it before today, ever, first time. But as surely as God is faithful, well, what is faithful? There are many attributes of God. They're listed in Luther's Small Catechism, the attributes. God is eternal. God is all-present. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient, that's all-knowing. He's gracious. And then also listed faithful as an attribute of God. What does faithful mean? Well, faithful means that God does what he says. God does what he promises. Faithful means that you can count on God. Faithful means God will not go back on his word, but do what he has said. And as a result, St. Paul, writing these few verses in 2 Corinthians, says, this is our message to you. God's answer is not a yes and a no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who has preached among you by us, by me, by Silas and Timothy, was not a yes and a no. But in him it has always been a yes. Well, what does Paul mean when he says that God's message is not a yes and a no? Well, a yes and a no answer in our Christian faith would be something like this. Well, yes, Jesus died for your sins. But no, you don't get there without you having done a bunch of good works. Yes, your sins are forgiven, but no, it's not free. You have to make it up, and you have to do something. You see what I mean by a yes and a no answer in theology? But Paul says rather to the Corinthians, no matter how many promises of God have been made, they are yes in Christ. There's no no. So in other words, Christ fulfilled the law, God's requirements, the need for our salvation, fully. It's all a yes. There is no no. Well, today we're in church not to talk about straight answers. We're here for a funeral for a very dear sister, Mother Ruth. But straight answers do have a huge connection with a funeral. Any funeral, right? And this one too. Confidence is needed that God does what he says. At the time of a funeral, above all, we need to know that God's answers are straight answers. That passages like these are straight passages, meaning exactly what they say. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. A straight passage. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Another straight passage. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not counting men's sins. Another. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Another, the blood of Christ purifies us from all sin. And another, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. It makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? That God gives straight answers. He doesn't equivocate in any way, ever. There is no such thing in biblical theology as a yes and a no. For in Christ, all believers in Christ, by grace through faith, stand with the answer of yes in Christ. And by the way, this just needs to be said then also, God's no answer is always a no answer. When it comes to sin, God doesn't sometimes say it's okay and another time say it's all right. Sin is sin. And God's answer is always the wages of sin is death. And the Ten Commandments have no exceptions. They are not, as some may have said, the 10 suggestions. Well, having preached about straight answers in this sermon, let's think about our sister Ruth for a moment. First, Ruth believed the straight answers of God. Right? She believed the straight answers of God. She was baptized. That's where God comes and claims us, washes us clean. She was taught as a youth, as a young person, and continued to grow in knowledge as an adult. Confirmed. She professed. She came to the altar and was fed numerous times, prayed, witnessed, and lived. There is no doubt this morning that Sister Ruth is with the Lord, not because of her goodness, but because of the straight answers that God gave to Ruth and to all of us who are in Christ. Second thing I want to think about Ruth. I've known Ruth for just about 14 years now, the time I've been here at Grace Lutheran Church. And in those first years, I had many a conversation with Ruth at 409. You know where that's at. 409 Nebraska Street. Around that table. It was in the dining room right off the kitchen. It's where we always sat. It's where we always talked. Over those 14 years, never once has Ruth given to me anything other than a straight answer. Seriously. I think Ruth is known for her straight talk. And I mean that as a compliment, the highest compliment of all. Ruth would say what she means, mean what she says. And I mean this as a compliment also. If something was on Ruth's mind, she told you about it. Is that so? See, there's laughter over here. That's so. She told you about it. That's not bad. That's good. Some people today who are straight talkers don't care what they say or how they say it, or even if they hurt somebody's feelings in doing it. It's part of the brash, rude, in-your-face kind of mentality we have today. Not so with Ruth. When it would come to concern and giving a straight answer, it was always brought forth out of love, care, concern. And it was done so in a way that would not hurt anybody's feelings. She would let people know where she stood, but not hurt feelings. That's a gift. That's a gift that not many people possess. But it's a gift that Ruth possessed. Maybe you might not all agree with that. I don't know. But she did. When it comes right down to it, when we're in trouble or need advice or when we're perplexed, who do we seek out? Do we seek out someone who speaks in half-truths but won't give a straight answer? Or do we seek out the one who gives straight talk? We seek out the one who gives straight answers. In times of trouble, We don't need baloney, do we? Not at all. God blessed Ruth in a variety of ways. She was blessed and is blessed to have a large family. This is one of the largest family processions that I've seen at a funeral here at Graceland. Okay? One of them. I don't know that I would say it's the largest, but close. It's a blessing to have a big family. When someone reaches Ruth's age, 95, now she had lived Tuesday, 96, well, it's quite normal that they're grandchildren, even great-grandchildren. But it's a rarity to have great-great-grandchildren. What a blessing. God blessed Ruth with good health most of her life and a clear mind to the very end. God blessed Ruth with many good friends, as is attested by the visitation last night and attendance here at the service today. God blessed Ruth to be a straight talker, among many other things as well, of which could be listed. But above all, God blessed Ruth to receive the straight, the clear, the unequivocal promises of salvation in Christ. That makes all the difference in the world. That is, as Jesus said to Martha, the one thing needful. At Ruth's funeral service today and the conclusion of the sermon, what is left for us to say but the words of Job from the Old Testament? The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and keep our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
I invite congregation to please stand as we approach the mercy seat of God in prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy, grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption, to be seated with him at the heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy, give to the family of Ruth and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and assure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy, give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you that you have given Ruth a long life of grace, and we pray that you would grant that we too may die in peace
and receive the crown of everlasting glory. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Ruth and for all the blessings you bestowed on her in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with her we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord, trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Congregation may be seated. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy, and you bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life, and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
Amen.
Let us go forth in peace. Again, following the recessional hymn, we will make our way out to Greenwood Cemetery. Everyone is invited to come along with us. However, if you are not able or willing or can make it out to the cemetery, we encourage you to go downstairs, go ahead and start eating, and wait for the family for their return. Being that the meal will start immediately, let's offer a blessing for the meal now. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather this morning, we give you thanks for this day, because as you have promised, your mercies never end, and they are new each and every morning. We thank you for the gift of faith that you gave to Ruth, and that our confidence was found in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life that we cannot live, died the death we deserve, but rose from the grave to give us eternal life. Lord, keep us each strong and steadfast in that faith. Lord, we give you thanks for the meal that has been prepared. We thank you for those who have prepared it. We thank you for those who are serving it. We ask that as we eat of it, it would nourish our bodies to continue to do the mission you've given us of loving you above all things and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, we pray your blessing to be upon Ruth's friends and family and all who mourn her passing. Lord, we lift up these and all the prayers of our hearts to you in Christ's holy and most precious name. Amen. We'll sing the recessional hymn.